If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360. If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360. This guy knows football, ladies and gentlemen. He's a quarterback. He put up the single most points versus BYU himself, essentially. No, he had a great supporting cast as well. But back in 2001, he put up, what was it, 72 points?
72 points.
Versus
BYU.
It
didn't take him very long to get there.
He still holds the record as the starting quarterback versus BYU for the most points scored against the BYU defense. Let's welcome in head coach for the University of Hawaii, Nick Rolovich. What's up, coach?
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Brandon. I appreciate it. Quite an intro.
Hey, man, you deserve it. I mean, BYU is known for scoring points. And that 2001 offense still is probably one of the best offense ever to be fielded. And you won up them with that 72-point performance. What do you remember about that game and everything leading up to it?
No, it was, you know, I didn't realize the traditional rivalry between the two schools as much as until that game was over. There were some great battles throughout the 80s and 90s. And some incredible games, and that for the people of Hawaii, BYU is always an exciting matchup. So I didn't quite realize it till after, but that was an incredible BYU team. And you know, there were some injuries that happened right before that game. Don't tell everybody in Hawaii, but you know, I think BYU was a better, fuller team a couple weeks earlier. But that wasn't we try not to tell too many people that.
Seriously, like when you break down that game, when was the last time you maybe watched the highlights of that game? And are there any particular plays that stand out to you?
You know, Chad Owens was a freshman who ended up being a great receiver for us here. But he returned, you know, he returned the opening kickoff, and then he returned a punt. He returned the opening kickoff 60 yards or something. Then we scored, but then he returned the next two kickoffs, I believe, or kickoff and a punt for a touchdown. So we weren't really sure we were, you know, we didn't get on the field much in the first quarter, but it was just, I remember a great tight end. I forget his name. You know, I ran into Brandon Doman a few times after that game, and, you know, because we were both coming out trying to make it. You know, everyone was good guys, and, you know, Reno Mahe was on that team. I mean, there was some good football players on the field that day in Aloha Stadium.
As I mentioned, you were a junior college All-American, and I love the JUCO guys. I was a JUCO guy myself. But one thing that you don't typically see, Coach, and I got to get your thoughts on it, is the JUCO quarterback coming out and making waves and finding a starting role at an FBS level. It's not something that is typically targeted. Why is it that it's difficult for a JUCO quarterback to have success at the FBS level?
I don't know if I completely agree with that, but I think guys coming out of JUCO need to, you know, you need to find the field. You know, it isn't about who has the shiniest locker room anymore. You know, you've already been JUCO is not easy now for anybody that goes who's been there. They know. So it's the love of the game is strong at JUCO, and, you know, the ability to compete to get on the field is important. So I'm not sure if this new transfer market of quarterbacks has a little bit to do with that, you know, to some extent. But, Aaron Rodgers, JUCO quarterback, there's been a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a bunch of good ones. But it's usually guys who've got a chip on their shoulder, who have been overlooked, who have had some hard times, whatever it is. But that fire still burns inside of them. And at that position, if you've got those qualities, I think you can rally a team.
No, I agree. The ones that I remember, I mean, BYU hasn't had many, and maybe that I'm somewhat biased there. So Gary Scheide, Steve Sarkisian, two of the greats, but they were JUCO guys. Typically, they're targeting four-year guys, and they're developing them through their system. But, yeah, I remember Masoli. He had some success coming out of the JUCO ranks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, though, the most recent ones.
Well,
you did.
Zach Lee came out, too. Yeah, I coached him in junior college. That was a... most recently, let's see who's come out. It seems like people take them, but almost just as successful.
Like I had the UNLV, the UNLV quarterback. He was a LDS kid out of the Phoenix Mesa area. He's had some success at UNLV. Yeah, and then Cam Newton, the Cam Newton story, but he was kind of a bounce back.
Yeah. You know, I guess you can put the bounce back in the overlooked Jason. Quarterbacks in two different categories, but it's a great opportunity for kids having a second chance who still love the game, I think, or all sports, you know.
All things considered, you came into the program, a program that hadn't been to a bowl game since 2010, immediately turned that around, a 7-7 record, won your bowl game by a pretty wide margin. What went right for you guys? We can maybe just recap the year and just kind of talk about what you've instilled in the program to maybe gain that instant success.
Well, I don't know if we completely turned it around. We had some success, and I think it had a lot to do with our leadership and guys who had been, basically told they were losers for 4 or 5 years, and they hadn't had a winning season. They had only heard about, some great teams that Hawaii had and, not even experience. We had nobody on the roster experience a bowl game before. That was kind of mind-boggling for me walking into that auditorium. I was here for 4 years, from 08 to 11. I'd been with Coach Jones as a player, as a student assistant. Just kind of it was almost what was expected. And to walk into a room where nobody even knew what that feeling was like, it kind of a reality check of what we need to get going here. But I thought our guys handled the week really well. They were one of the things when we got the bowl bid, I told them, proud of them, all that good stuff. But I don't want to go and just say we're going to a bowl game. We got to go win a bowl game to really make a statement. And I appreciate the guys buying into that.
Yeah, they bought into a whole lot more than just that game, though. I think in order to have success, you mentioned the leadership. But what did you instill in a culture? I mean, you've been a player. You've been a coach for a long time as well. What is the culture like, and what was that change like in that transition?
I guess you didn't like that answer. All right, I'm going to give you another one. One of the big things around, and it's probably very similar to BYU, The community involvement is something is almost mandatory. We're a small island. We understand that. We're in the middle of the ocean, but we all rely on each other in some way. And to think that as a football player, you're special or different outside of the football field is wrong to think. And I wanted guys to walk every step outside of the facility or the field, as what we like to say over here, living aloha, doing the right thing, respecting everybody, treating the janitor or the president of the university the same way. And that a lot of our guys bought into. And I think that had a big help on just moving forward. And just the perception of our team in the community, I think, has changed a lot. A lot of it, we've done a lot of community service stuff, a lot of kind of creative, spontaneous, what are they doing now over there at the university kind of events. But it was fun, and really the young, because you got to think from, 12 or even 11, there was no bowl game till through 15. There wasn't a lot of success in this program. And that's a whole generation of high school students or young kids, however you want to look at it, that didn't grow up seeing Hawaii of the 2000s. So we're trying to really start with understanding that the kids are some of our biggest fans, and we are their role models, and just accepting that role and kind of trying to build it is kind of the thought process moving forward.
Given your coaching experience, I can kind of guess what kind of system you guys run there, but is it still that wide open system? If you can maybe discuss what type of team you guys are just on the offensive side.
We have elements of it, you know, and playing for June, you know, and then coaching here for Coach McMackin, and, you know, we kept the whole run shoot system. I think it's great for quarterbacks and receivers. But then I got the chance to work with Coach Alt at Nevada for a year and really saw a couple things. What a tight end could do if you have a good one, and what the zone read game can do to your run game. Plus, we had moved to the pistol in 2010, and Coach Alt was excited because he was the only one doing it, and he invented it. But to learn it from him was that really kind of influence a lot of my thought processes. So we're not as traditional where you would line up in Hawaii and get 3-by-1, 4 receivers the whole game, or 2-by-2 receivers. You get 2 formations and you know the personnel group the whole game, and you know that, and that was, those were great times. But I think being a little more multiple formationally, putting a little more emphasis on the run game, gives us a little more balance. And part of it was, I wasn't going to come in last year and say, this is the system we're running. If you're a tight end, get out of here. You know, that, I just don't think that's the right. You got to be a little bit flexible on what you can do with a new group of kids. And we ended up having some good tight ends and some good old linemen and running backs and a brand new quarterback, so the run game helped him a little bit, but he grew as the season went on. And but the pass concepts are all rooted in the run and shoot, and there's adjustable routes, and I think smart receivers. I mean, well, we've got a kid named Dylan Colley, whose brother played for you guys up there, and he has taken to it so quickly. He goes, Coach, you mean, so if this guy does this, I can do this and get open? Yeah, you can, Dylan. He goes, I love it. Perfect. And, you know, he ended up making some big plays for us down the stretch. And I think will be a big factor in our year this year offensively.
That's
the receivers.
In 2008, it had to be the pinnacle of the program with what you guys were able to do. You were a coach on that staff. Do you draw on that season a lot with regards to what you guys were able to accomplish? And do you kind of impart that experience with your kids? Or if you could just maybe discuss that season and what that did for you.
I'm very big on the history. You know, I like History Channel. I like the history of our program. I feel part of it as an alumni, as most alumni would wherever they went. So I think understanding the bricks that you're walking on right now as a player is very important. And we have multiple alumni events where I even, you know, brought the team, brought them all up close in the auditorium. And we had 120 alumni come in from the top. We have a way to enter from the top, and kind of came down and sat behind them. And it was me, and we had another alumni speaker talking, and players were in the middle, and the alumni were behind them. They were surrounded by people who gave a lot to this program, and that, I think that was pretty powerful. But the 2007 team, I think you're speaking of the Sugar Bowl team, that was, you know, different generations would say there were different games that were important to them, but that one was, in the modern day area, is probably the pinnacle of our program. And, you know, that's a hefty goal to get to, but, you know, that didn't happen overnight either. You know, that was built with consistency in the system, with the coaching staff, with, you know, just the philosophy. It wasn't always changing. And, you know, I think magic came together that year.
Head coach for the Rainbow Warriors, Nick Rolovich, here on ESPN 960. Coach, what did you accomplish in spring that you liked? Have you taken the necessary steps that you wanted to see in the offseason?
We started spring ball early, and that was kind of the hip thing to do. And I thought we had a lot of momentum after the bowl game. You know, let's get back right back into it. I don't know if I'm a fan anymore. I don't think we got enough opportunity as a staff to really evaluate the season as well as I thought we would want to. It happened after spring ball, so some of the adjustments or additions you didn't get fully grasped until you're already done with spring ball. So I appreciated the effort. I think the one thing I'm worried about is, what that void of leadership and that our guys think that this is just going to happen now because we're all together and this is new Hawaii football. I told them, guys, for 4 or 5 years, people knew they were playing Hawaii. They figured they could get a win, blah, blah, blah. We probably snuck up on a few people this year. But we made enough noise last season where to do just what we did last year record-wise, we're going to have to do more. And that's just the challenge. That's the reality of it. If we think we can do what we did last year, day in and day out, I think we're going to end up with a 7-7 record, or in this case, 6-6. We're kidding ourselves, and we need to keep growing. We need to keep recruiting. I tell every one of them, I'm trying to out recruit them every year, not personal, mm-hmm. So you better keep getting better. I want freshmen nipping at your heels, and you got to be kicking them off you, and the best guys are going to play. So, but one of the things I think that helped us last year, to be honest with you, is when I came in, I didn't want to say, okay, we're going to run this guy off. We're going to get this guy to the program. I wanted to give everybody a chance. I know Norm's staff and Norm recruited, the majority of the guys in the room. And I said, you guys will always be Norm's guys. I get that. And he brought you here, and that's I understand that. But today, I want all of you to be our guys too. And it wasn't a separation of staff. It wasn't who recruited me. And I think that really helped early on last winter. But, now they've all been with us for a year, so they better uphold their end of the bargain, and we got to be continually making forward progress.
Maybe it's too early to fully gauge this, but the excitement with the community, maybe the program of playing BYU, having BYU back on the schedule, is that still a big thing for the program?
Oh, it will be. I think, having it late right now on the schedule, I know people are aware of it. We have a lot of football to play until we get to you guys, but it will bring back a lot of great memories for a lot of fans over here. And, not only, the 2001 thing is going to be a topic. I get that. But, I know Hawaii came up there a few years later and got beat pretty good. I mean, there's been some pretty good battles between the two schools. And I wish I had the dates of, I remember people still talk about the first time Hawaii beat BYU because BYU mm-hmm. was beating us down for every year, and then we finally got you guys. And I mean, those guys are looked at as heroes. I mean, they finally got it done. So I think it'll be a great environment. And look, out of anybody in the country, and I looked at everyone's, especially new coaches' schedules, what Kalani did with that schedule and that team, and I think he deserved a lot of credit because that wasn't people talked to me about the beginning of our schedule last year. It was difficult, but it is what it is. But what the Cougars faced throughout the year, that was a strong schedule, and they battled through it. So we understand the team that's going to be coming in here in November.
Last question for you, Coach. We appreciate your time. We know it's valuable. What did you have you evaluated BYU's film and watched some of their games this off season? And what have you seen? What has stood out to you, if you have?
Well, I watched them. I watched them throughout the year. When they're on TV and or you guys are on TV, and I'll tell you what, somebody who sticks up to me is that linebacker,
Fred Warner.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I knew Warner, but there was he's the longer kid from San Diego, right?
Yeah, so so you got Butch Powell in the middle at Mike, and then
Butch.
Also Butch is standing out too.
I like watching. You what?
No, go ahead. Yeah, it's Butch, the middle linebacker.
I like watching him play football. I think he's a good football player. you know, Kalani's been known for his defenses and, you know, obviously has done a good job recruiting with what happened this last year. And there'll be plenty of poly-on-poly violence probably in that game. But, you know, there's a I just, as an offensive-minded guy, look at a lot of the defense on film, and you see guys flying around, you see passion. I'll have my antenna up because Kalani can fake punt from anywhere I saw, so I'm that's in our special teams.
No, there's not a fan out there that wants the 4th and 19 going on again. So we are all praying that it doesn't happen. But yeah, keep the antenna up. Coach, we really appreciate your time.
What do you guys got for me? You guys got to
get we'll ask a question, brother. What do you got? We cover BYU. I mean, I'm a former player. What questions do you have?
What about offensively? How did Taysom end up finishing with, you know, kind of a change in style of offense?
Well, I think you know as well as anybody that making that transition from spread and RPOs to a pro style under center, your vision is obstructed. Getting your footwork down is a difficult thing to do. Getting the ball out on time, having your wide receivers get in and out of their breaks and get to their spots, that was all an issue. And luckily for BYU this past season, you had Jamal Williams who could just average 5 yards a carry. And you could get into third. You look at statistically, where did BYU do well? Well, third down conversions, because we were in third and manageables all year long. Red zone scoring was good, but we weren't able to punch the football into the end zone once we got into the red zone. We didn't have any chunk yardage plays. So that's the biggest thing right now. Where do you create chunk yardage plays? Because I believe 80% of them came from Jamal. You know, Tanner's a chunk yardage quarterback, though. You go back and watch his film of 2015, he's going to roll right. He's going to be flushed out of the pocket, and he's going to you know, let it fly. But, yeah, those are some random thoughts for you on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, well, I saw him up close and personal with when we played you guys when I was at Nevada. And, you know, he was a talented kid, and I mean, just to keep the mindset after what he had been through injury-wise, I think he must be a great person too. So I look forward to it. Hopefully, I'll see you guys in person. Are you guys coming out to the island? You guys got the invite or not?
I'm definitely trying to get that in. Yeah, I'm trying to get that that approved from ESPN. We'll see how it all goes down. But I tell you what, if Hawaii's hot right now, you got to do your job and win a lot of football games, because I don't think there would be anything better than to watch another BYU-Hawaii fantastic rivalry game. And so let's win the Mountain West Conference. What do you say?
I say that's the plan. We're trying.
Do it.
Remember football. Hopefully we make it great. And I look forward to that battle.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time. Once again, we'd love to have you on. That was a great interview, and good luck this season.
Hey, thank you. You guys, too, and I appreciate it. You guys are good guys.
Yep, thank you so much, Coach. All right. Nick Rolovich, head coach for the Rainbow Warriors. If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360. If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360.